This is a presentation of Dawn Forge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 646, Tattoos, Transmog, and Testing. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from Pops to Dorbs, Rides to Mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA.
Coming to you from the exotic land known as Canada, eh? You're listening to another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now we present your awesome hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Maedros, the commander of the Fell and master of demons, Vandeth, the non-vegan meat shield, my warrior brother, Toasty, and the High Priestess of the Everlight, Allie. She ain't from Canada, but it'll work. It's the internet. Just go with it. They are bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Maedros, and with me I have Toasty. How you doing there, Mr. Non-Vegan?
I mean, it's true. I never claimed to be vegan. I had a brief stint with vegetarianism.
I'm glad you agree with his statement about you.
I'm doing remarkably better than I was last week. Oh boy.
That's good.
Last week sucked so much.
I wasn't even sure you'd still be with us today after yesterday, so.
Well, I'm here, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right, then. And we have Allie. Hey, Allie.
Hello.
So, since Toasty doesn't want to talk about the hockey game, how about you and I talk about the hockey game a little bit? Since Toasty doesn't want to talk about it.
Rude.
The game made me sad. I want the Blues to win.
The Blues scored a goal. I'm very happy they scored a goal.
I mean, that's better than a shutout. I mean, that's true. That would hurt. But I want the Bruins to go down in flames. So I was not happy with that result.
So what better way for it to happen than, like, game 7 at home?
I'll give you that.
So I have a question, Toasty. Well, I have a series of questions, actually. First off, do you want me to cheer for the Blues on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Are you certain about that?
Not anymore.
I simply asked this question since I realized today every team I've cheered for in this playoffs has lost their series.
Cheer for the Bruins.
All right, then. I thought you might say that once you realized the consequences of that question.
Can I cheer for the Blues?
Have you cheered for any winners this season?
She cheered for the Blues in the previous series in the conference finals.
That's true. I did.
Fair enough.
I cheered for the Avalanche. We didn't win, but at least we got further than we did last year.
And you did cheer for you've cheered for two series that the team won. So
yeah.
All right, then.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
So Allie's gonna cheer for the Blues. I'm gonna cheer for the Bruins, and hopefully Toasty will be still with us next week.
I might die.
No, he won't die.
Yeah, we were in Discord talking about the game, and there's a couple of times where we were like, whatever Toasty is, I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's just not talking.
Yeah.
Just not, he has nothing to say.
And expect that on Wednesday, honestly.
I fully expect that unless the Blues come out, like, first period, like, a hefty lead, you're probably going to be very quiet. I don't blame
my phone
you.
Wasn't even in the same room as me.
Yeah.
Game 7 is rough.
Like, I've never been so, like, oh, it's going to be bad. Like, obviously I get invested in playoff hockey every year. This year's especially bad because, like, right now, that's it. This is it.
This is it. Game 7 would be it. That's true.
In fairness, Game 7 is always it, whether or not it's the finals or not.
Yeah, except for this one. This one doesn't mean more hockey. This one just means it's over.
Yes, but this could mean that there's a parade in St. Louis.
Yep.
Or in Boston.
Oh, no. It'll be like their quarterly championship parade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, enough about hockey. I'm sure people can't wait for Wednesday to be done, so I'll stop talking about hockey.
I think we'll have one more episode of the show where there's hockey talk, most likely. As a guess, you know.
Depends how much I want to talk about it.
That is very true. So, Ellie, before we get into how your weekend WoW was, let me ask, since this came up in discussions today in Discord, how was your chest this past week?
My chest was lovely, as always. No, but it was actually really good. We did those mythics and stuff, and I actually got 415 gloves out of them.
Nice.
They forged up, and that was lovely. So that made me super happy. I'm not the biggest fan of Mythic Pluses because they stress me out as a healer, but man, those 415 gloves felt really good to put on.
Yeah, I hear you on the whole healing thing. I tried doing a bunch of Mythic Pluses on my Disc Priest last expansion, and that was stress I did not need.
I ended up putting a lot of weight on my shoulders.
Yeah.
And I love my guild. They're not always the best at mechanics, and so I have come to the point where I have to out-heal their stupidity. Not stupidity, that's a mean word. Out-heal their...
inattentiveness.
Sure. Self-awareness. And so when that doesn't go well, and when people start dying, even if it's completely not my fault, I tend to get a little stressed. And then that timer adds to the stress from the Mythic Pluses. So, but yeah, the 415 gloves kind of made it feel worthwhile. That was pretty nice. Pretty nice.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonder what that's like, getting gear.
Good. Feels good, man. Feels good.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
I don't get to feel it too often because I have the worst luck. But when I do get it, it's pretty great.
Okay, Allie.
What?
I have to say.
What?
Are you trying? Like, attempting to facilitate me doing an entire 5-minute clip of you saying things that can be taken really badly? Are you attempting to do this?
I'm very aware that could be taken badly. That's okay. Why I said it.
Okay.
I said it mostly to make Toasty laugh. Yeah.
And it worked. I'm just quick with the mute. I'm very quick with the mute.
I have no shame. I am fully aware of what I'm saying. And if you end up doing that someday for some bloopers, Patreon thing or whatever, I'm okay with that. Bring it on.
Oh, it'll probably be for your 1-year anniversary show.
Okay.
That is a good question, assuming you stick around for the full year.
As long as they don't, you know, fire me or kick me off or something.
Can't get fired from a job you don't get paid for.
That is
kicked
true.
Kicked off. Kicked off. Does that work? As long as I don't kicked off by then. I'm sure I could get kicked off, but I have no intention of going anywhere, so you all are stuck unless you kick me off.
All right.
Please don't kick me off.
I have no powers.
I will consider that request.
Zeph, stop trying to replace me. I haven't done anything wrong yet.
Well, I mean, I've been told that Nick's a great replacement, so I could get him to come on and replace Toasty, Nick, and then Zeph to come replace Allie.
Doomed.
Well, you did kind of play up how good your potential replacement was, so, you know, it's kind of your fault.
Because Nick is great. Like, he has great discussion, he's very well-spoken, he's got a fantastic laugh. Like, if I could be half as well-spoken as Nick, I would be set.
All right, then. Toasty, how was your week in WoW?
So my past 2 weeks have been actually pretty eventful. I finally got around to doing that N'Zoth questline. So that was a lot of fun.
That one's so good. I like that one.
It wasn't that I finally got around to it. It's that I finally found a Naga invasion that was happening while I was online.
Right.
It's like, oh shoot, Naga invasion. There's 10 minutes left. How fast can I get to Bol'Dun and get to that area? Turns out, with just enough time. With just enough time.
Nice. Well done.
So I did that, and then over the course of about a week, I finished off that questline, and I really enjoyed all of that. I mean, there's some interesting things going on.
Yeah. I like that one a lot.
Did you guys opt to keep your gift?
Heck yes, I did. Because if you think about it, so yes, I'm at main holy, but I am often found in shadow as well if I'm, you know, out doing world quests or whatever it may be. I'm holy, and I'm all about the light, but I am very much in touch with my evil side. So, and that's me in real life too. So I definitely kept that gift because I really like old god-related things.
All right. What about you, Medros? Did you keep your gift?
Sorry, what gift?
The gift from N'Zoth.
There's a gift from N'Zoth?
Have you done the Zalatath questline?
No, I started it, but I haven't done very... I basically only did stuff out in... it's Derma Song. I haven't done anything beyond that.
Oh, okay. You should do it.
Good.
No dungeons involved. You're fine.
Yeah, there's no dungeons. You're okay.
No dungeons, no raids, no requiring another person there.
I do intend to do it on an alt toasty, so I can still get the toy at least. Mm-hmm. But I have not gotten to that point yet. But yes, for my main, she is keeping it.
I mean, there is a raid to finish it off, but I don't think it's necessary. Like, the raid is literally the last quest, and you can just not do it. But that's fine. But I think the only thing you get as a reward is some Azerite power. So,
did you keep it?
Yeah, I kept it.
Nice.
I was worried for a little bit there because like all the quest text was like only talking about cleansing myself of the gift. Like, but I want to keep it. So I'm like, okay, before I finish this quest, let's go to WoWhead and find out what's what. And turns out, like, no, there's no dialogue option to say I want to keep it. If you finish the quest, that's it.
It's just deny. It's just not taking the other quest.
Yeah, you just need to abandon the quest, which is what I did.
Yeah.
Which was like, I felt that they probably could have done that. For people who want to keep it, they probably should have presented an option like that, like the dialogue option that they have done for previous choices within this expansion. That would have been a perfect opportunity for it, and you just if you turned it in, that was it. So I'm glad I stopped. But in relation to that, I finally finished Crucible of Storms. Oh my god. That is a freaking slog. Just because people don't want to listen. I don't know how many times you can spam switch targets in as a raid warning. But it just did not work.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it worked after the fifth try, but I have a feeling that was only because most of the people left and we got on practically a brand new group. It was me, three other DPS, a couple healers and tanks that stayed behind. Otherwise everyone else got replaced.
Yeah.
But the last boss, I forget his name now, but it was a couple mechanics I wasn't all that familiar with. Obviously, it was my first time in there, and I was trying, because it's LFR, I'm just trying to learn it as I go, because reading a guide or watching a video historically hasn't been much help for me. I typically have to experience the whole thing.
Right.
LFR is a good way for me to do that.
Yeah.
And there were some mechanics that I just that weren't very obvious right away. Because there's different items that you need to use right. to basically blow them all up. I think it's the crown that blows them all up.
Something like that. Like I have not been the one to use the items because I'm usually just too busy healing my behind off.
Right.
But there's one the tanks use, there's one DPS uses, and there's ones that the healers use.
Yeah. And I never got the opportunity to use those items. Somebody else always picked them up, so I never had to worry about them. But at the same time, it was missing that aspect of like me knowing what that specific thing did. So I didn't know what to do with certain things. I know there's an ad that you got to kill, but you can't kill it. If you get it down to zero, it just starts healing up. You have to use the DPS item, I think it is, when it's sub 25, to kill it. Otherwise, it'll just keep rejuving, and that's not great, especially in an LFR run. So it took a couple tries for me to understand fully what I needed to do. And unfortunately for that boss, people weren't being too communicative. So when I was docking the ads down to zero, nobody was telling me I shouldn't be doing that. And there was nothing obvious, like nothing that I noticed right away anyway. Until later I started reading, like, I did my thing where I look at the random debuffs that are happening, like, oh, I should not be doing this anymore. So I figured it out eventually. The last boss didn't take as many wipes. I think we only wiped twice before we finally killed that. And yeah, I finished off Crucible Storms. So I'm happy with that. Got to see it. What's happening there is very interesting. And seeing the aftermath of certain events. I'm interested to see where that goes. Also, just like Nazoth's eye right there.
Yeah. So do you play the sound down on?
Yeah.
Did you notice that if you get close to some of the eyeballs in the wall, you can hear eyeball squishy sound?
Oh, God, yep. I love it. I love it, but it's a little unsettling.
I love it, but I told some of my guildies that and pointed it out to them, and so they turned up their I think it was ambiance that did it, and they, like, it creeped them out, and because it was just, you know, didn't like the eyeball squishing sound. But I thought it was pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, the attention to detail there is fantastic. I love it. It skews me out a little bit, but like, no, it's great.
Only a little bit?
What do you say about that? Yeah, only a little bit.
That would totally weird me out.
I mean, like, I don't know. I guess I'm used to weird sounds too. I like feed my toads crickets. You can definitely hear that crunch. It's a pretty audible crunch.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, as Zeph says, I'm a little bit weird.
Just a little bit?
I'm not going to deny that. I'd be a fool to deny that.
I agree.
What else have I done? I've done a lot of stuff. It's been a long couple of weeks. Just played some more in the beta. I'm not quite... I haven't hit cap yet. I'm taking it slow in the classic beta just because I feel like that's how it should be played.
Yeah.
Classic, the whole classic WoW experience tells me that I should be approaching it slow and just kind of... That's my instinct with it anyway.
So I have a question. I don't know if they actually address this or not. Are they planning to make people playing WoW Classic not get any gold at level 60 for, you know, 6 to 9 months before they actually, like, turn that on to the quest... gold from XP or quest XP into gold?
They have not announced that yet.
Okay, because that is the true experience of Classic.
Well, when did that change happen?
Oh, it's definitely before 1.12, but so, I feel like they should do that to make sure that people really understand some of the most frustrating aspects of being level 60 in vanilla, which was, oh, now I either have to do dungeons or raids because I have no other way to make gold.
I don't know. I feel like that's one of the things that they're just going to say no. They're just going to do what they had in 112. I know right now, like, that's not the case for everything, obviously, like, because PvP wasn't the thing right away, and they're making sure that that's true to form. I feel like something like that might just be in at the beginning. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, the only thing I've been announced with the future content and things like that are how they're going to handle the release of phases and actually keeping an eye of where the player base is and that kind of thing. So they haven't said anything about, you know, quest for gold and that kind of jazz.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens with everything there. I forget who has talked about their week so far. I know I have, because that was supposed to be what we were doing. Allie, we talked about your week, right?
No, not yet.
Did we? Okay.
I mean,
didn't I ask how your week went?
No, you said before that, and then we just like.
Okay, sorry. I should have just lead into how was your week. Sorry.
No, it was good. You know, like I said, I got the gloves. The guild kind of sat down and had a bit of a chat to see how we're feeling about raiding, because everyone's kind of burnt out at this point. And so it sounds like we are not going to bother with progressing. Wow. We're not going to bother with progressing anymore until A2 comes out. We'll still get together. It sounds like we're probably going to do some more Mythic Pluses, so you already know how I feel about that. But we're not going to bother with trying to down any more bosses, which is a bummer. Like, I would have liked to see us actually go all the way and kill Heroic Jaina, but I think that's just a little too much of a challenge and a little too much work for my guild, because, you know, it tends to be a little more casual, which is fine. You know, ultimately, I want them to be happy. I'm not going to force them to raid if they don't want to raid, so it just means I might have to go pug to get my AOTC if I want it.
Just hang along with Seraphis.
I've offered like 5 times to heal when they need a healer, but usually they don't, or they don't want to put more people in there because that means that changes the health of the boss. But that's okay. So yeah, I've got time.
Promise him
so,
bacon at BlizzCon. He'll find a way.
I'm sure he'll already have bacon at BlizzCon. So yeah, that's fine. I have a couple other people I can potentially see if they'll bring me along. The good news is I can actually pull my weight with healing. Like, I don't doubt my abilities, and I know the fights, so it shouldn't be too hard. The struggle is that a lot of the groups who are clearing Heroic Jaina tend to only want people who have already cleared Heroic Jaina, and they won't bring along someone like me. But that's the joy of having various friends in various raid groups. And hopefully I can get one of them to bring me along.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that about your guild, because I've been noticing that's been happening quite a bit recently. I'm in a couple different guild discords just because I pugged with them at one point, or in the case of one of them, I was just in that guild at one point. And there's been a bunch of people, bunch of groups that have just sort of stopped raiding until A2 comes along.
Yeah, either I mean,
because they burnt out on the content, or they got through it faster than they were expecting to.
Yeah, it's one of the two. It's interesting because Baldazar lore, I really like it, and I think there are some fantastic raid mechanics to it. It definitely does get challenging, and it kind of depends on your raiders, because it is a very mechanic heavy fight at times, and not everyone can handle that, or not everyone wants to. So, you know, ultimately everyone pays their own subscription or gets the gold to pay for their subscription, and they have to do what is fun for them. So I definitely get it. And I get, on one hand, like, I'm getting burnt out too. Like, we are having a hard time getting Mechatork down on Heroic. And I don't necessarily want to spend 3 hours every week banging my head against the wall trying to kill him. So I definitely get it. At the same time, I want to clear the rest of the place. So it is what it is. We'll see where we go from there. Yeah. Otherwise,
I was just going to say, I just don't remember experiencing anything like that in Legion. There was, like, during Legion, there was never a point where I'm like, you know, I'm done raiding.
You know, it just...
I felt like, for me, the content... For me, anyway, the content was coming out at a pace where by the time I was starting to get bored with another raid, we had other content to tackle, and I went on for that, and...
Like, I think it's just one of those things that actually happens sometimes in between patches. You know, when we get towards the end of one patch, you know, people get burned out, and there's just so many other games to play right now, too, and it's just... It's one of those things that happens. You know, but A2 is coming out soon with some great stuff, and I am super excited for it.
So much stuff.
Yes. But otherwise, I have been working on my Iron Man tune. She's 20 as of this morning, I believe. And...
No neutral spiders?
No neutral spiders, yep. So that's good.
All right.
I almost... A null almost killed me, but I took him down. So that's fine.
There you go.
And yeah, I ended up playing a lot of Overwatch this week because I was having fun with the anniversary event.
Oh yeah.
That's over as of today. So I'm thinking about actually leveling my monk, my Ally Morgan, some now that that event is done. And yeah, I'll see where she goes. So far I think the monk's pretty fun. It's my first one.
Oh, monks are so much fun.
Yeah, they seem like it. So I'm excited to check them out. Plus I really want to check out the Horde side. I haven't seen their story yet, and I've worked really hard to avoid spoilers. So I might actually do a little more of that this week as well.
Yeah, I've been meaning to do that too, just because there's those mount rewards if you finish both sides of the story.
Because that wolf is amazing and I want it.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to see the Horde story on their side.
I feel like that's something that... because I feel like with previous expansions... Both stories kind of ran side by side and you got to see both sides regardless. And I feel like with Legion and now with BFA, that hasn't been the case. I have no idea what's happening on the Horde side of things outside of the different cinematics that I've watched.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited. I think there's a lot of fun to be had. And I might do that. I might spend some time on my Druid this week.
Nice.
Yeah. How was your weekend, WoW Medros?
Unplentiful, I guess is the best way of putting it. I didn't do much again. I noticed a couple times that I was close to doing, or close to hitting a Paragon reward for one faction or another, so I would go do a few quests for that. But there hasn't been a lot to draw me into game this past week. I think I've maybe had 3 or 4 hours total playtime, and at least an hour of that was auction stuff, so... That kind of tells you how busy my game time was this week. The wife has headed down to the States for a concert, so there's a lot of stuff doing prep and getting stuff gathered for her trip. So,
oh, she's going to New Kids, right?
Yeah.
I thought I saw something on her Facebook about that.
So, yeah, my computer is now infested with 90s pop music.
You say that like it's a bad thing, man.
Yes, because it is.
Who doesn't like a good 90s bopper every now and then?
You can't see me, but I'm raising my hand. I don't want to listen to New Kids on the Block, Tiffany, Salt-N-Pepa, Debbie Gibson, and Naughty by Nature. Thanks anyway.
Okay. That's fair.
But yes, that was pretty much how my week seemed to go this week. A lot of out-of-game stuff. But looking forward to Darkshore opening up again for the Warfront, so I can try and take one more swing at getting an upgrade, and likely failing. Or perhaps, you know, taking a shot at Ibis and not to get anything to loot drop. Or the exact same item drop again. Anyways. Yeah, not been a lot, really. Hoping to have some more time to level my second paladin. It's up to, I think, 117 and a half. And yeah, not really too much else. Just trying to get the show out at a decent time of the week and failing miserably, so. But yeah, not doing a lot in WoW, unfortunately.
Alright, well, yeah, why don't we talk about our first sponsor then?
Alrighty then. So our first sponsor is, okay, we talked about this last week, and I think I gauged Allie's reaction being that she's very excited about this. but we'll see if that excitement has survived the last week. Our first sponsor is the great folks over at Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, from Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more from outside the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Star Wars, and Game of Thrones. And I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week. And like I said last week, I had been planning to go into Pokemon ones for a few weeks. However, HBO and Funko decided they were going to throw some curveballs at me, so we're still doing more Game of Thrones ones. This week, since we declared the end of our spoiler for Season 8 of Game of Thrones, this one, I believe, is titled Daenerys Burns King's Landing.
Wow. Really? Is that actually what it's called?
I don't know if it's actually the official name of it, but that's what people are calling it, because that is very clearly what's happening. Like, even, like, the smudges of smoke on her face and everything, it's like, yeah. Brasley, come on, man.
That is pretty lit.
Yeah, that, thank you. Alright, Yeah, one of the many that they released mid/end of season instead of at the beginning of the season, due to spoilers, of course. We talked last week about the Night King with inserted the crystallized Night King with dagger, falling to pieces, and now we have Daenerys and Rhaegal breathing fire. So yeah, that's a thing. Now that we can talk about spoilers, any comments on this? Any thoughts on this visage?
I really like the dragon, because out of the three, that was my favorite dragon, because there was one point where he just looks like he's being totally pervy, and it's fantastic and judgy and stuff. So this is my favorite dragon. So
oh, when he was giving eyes to Jon?
Yeah, when John and Danny were together and they're like gonna kiss, and he's like, the camera just zooms in on him. He's like, kiss her, do it. Like, that, it was that look. Like, for a while, yeah. It was my phone, like, picture, like desktop, you know?
Yeah.
And I call it Pervy Dragon, even though I believe that's Drogon. But yeah, I call him Pervy Dragon. And so I love the dragon part of it, it's awesome. Since I don't like what Dany did, I don't necessarily like that she's on him, even though it makes sense that she would be, because that's what happened in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They decided to heat up things in King's Landing a little bit.
King's Landing was also lit.
It was very much lit, yes. Bad puns all over the place.
Yep.
Terrible puns, guys. Terrible. Be ashamed of yourselves. Anyways, if you want to check out this Funko and many others, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA. You can check them out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA. Use Shop10 to save 10%. And we want to thank Funko for the support of the show. So what's coming up this week in WoW? It is this week, not this month, right?
It is this week, yes indeed. We have the PvP Brawl Deep Wind Dunk this week, which I've never done, but I've always wanted to because I heard it's pretty fun. So check that out. And we also have the World Quest Bonus Event. So stock up on your war resources. Great time to get rep through doing World Quests. Just, don't forget to get the weekly. Yeah.
I heard you call me out on that last week.
I was told to. I'm trying not to get kicked off the show.
I can neither confirm nor deny that this is an instruction given in the pre-show.
Okay, well, that confirmed it, so.
I believe you missed where I said I could neither confirm nor deny.
Yep, your statement of being unable to confirm nor deny confirmed what actually happened.
Ratting on me, Allie. So disappointed. So disappointed.
I mentioned no names. For all he knows, maybe Fan messaged me and was like, hey, don't forget to mention this.
Yep, it is totally Fan.
So Frasley saying it was him? This is the whole I am Robert Paulson thing all over again.
No, it's I am Spartacus.
Okay. I'll pretend like I understood that reference.
Oh, God. Moving along. I can't even. Thank you, Razzly. Thank you for deleting that.
Anyway.
Yes, so let's move on with our news for talking about the show here. So, you both are getting the commemorative statue. Which one are you getting here, Toasty?
The Alliance one, duh.
And, Allie, you're getting one of each, right?
Yes, that's what we did.
I would love to see, somebody actually handling one of these things, so you can actually get a concept and an idea of the quality, because they look like G.I. Joe level figures and not worth the price.
Oh, it's only $45. Well,
see, $45, that's a little much for me. And I don't know that I can justify spending that on a toy.
Oh, it's 45 US, so that's like 1,000 Canadian.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah.
1,000.
Yeah, 1,000. That's about right.
Sounds about right, yeah. Sounds about an accurate conversion.
I get it, though, because it's hard to know, the quality about. I mean, if it's, is it similar to quality to, say, for example, the other statues that have come out? Just smaller? Or is it, slightly less quality? We don't know too many details about them.
But they look plastic. They look, to me, the quality looks low and cheap. And that's a concern for me. I don't want a not inexpensive piece that is going to look like crap.
That's fair.
And, I've not hidden the fact that I've not been overly impressed the last several BlizzCon goodie bags / boxes. I think the last one I actually enjoyed was the BlizzCon 10-year anniversary one, which had a Stein in it.
That was a pretty good one.
It was. I have one in my closet. I have a spare one in my closet still. I haven't even opened it. It's crazy. But, why? I opened my first one. I got a second one though. So
okay,
I haven't even touched that one. figure if I wait 10 years, it'll be really worth it or something.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Very much.
One of those risks.
It is. But it's not hurting nothing staying there
at this point. Exactly. So.
But yeah, I haven't been super impressed with the goodie bags for a while now, and it's just crazy. I don't know that this is worth it. And I hope that Blizzard will make it worthwhile for a product, for those who get it. But this is all there is. There's nothing else. And that's kind of a disappointment to me. Like, before, at least there was, you know, there'd be, you know, the inflatable Overwatch hammer and a little Diablo thing and maybe a StarCraft thing and a Warcraft thing. You know, the big title would be the main piece, but you'd still get other stuff. This is the goodie bag. It's a statue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's concerning. It makes me wonder why there's no desire to add more to promote other franchises. Yes, it is WoW's anniversary, but that isn't, to me, enough of a reason to say, oh, yeah, we're not going to do anything else. But we'll see what Blizzard does closer to. Maybe there'll be stuff waiting for you in your goodie bags or stuff you can pick up the next day or something. Who knows? Just the statue alone is hard for me. If you do want to pre-order it, though, you have until June 19th. Hopefully this episode will be out by then. And again, as Toshi said, the price is $45 American and will ship out around BlizzCon.
And I looked it up. It is indeed $1,000 Canadian after conversion. Posted the screenshot disc.
Yep, I totally believe that.
It's a very, very authentic looking screenshot, Toasty. Yep. Well done, buddy. Well done.
Thank you. I mean, it better look authentic. It's real.
But are you guys excited to get your statues and
yep.
do stuff with them?
Yeah. Yep. I think they look really cool. I mean, yes, I'm eager to see, you know, what they are really like when you hold them in your hands. But I think they look cool, and I'm excited to get them. I feel good about it.
I've been going back and forth on whether or not I want to get the Horde one. The Horde one does look really good. I think. Oh man, but like. Indecisive Toasty strikes again. I don't know. No, you know what? No, I have England to think about. Oh.
Priorities,
so
man.
Maybe I will.
So on this MMO link about it, it actually has a video where they unbox the Horde one. And they're holding it and stuff. So that's definitely a really interesting video to watch. And see, I'm not actually listening to the audio, so they may actually be talking about more details about it that I'm not hearing right now, but mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to watch that later. But it looks, as Randy Jordan's holding it, like it looks really cool.
Okay. I will have to watch that video and see more info on that. Still pretty unlikely that I'll be pre-ordering it, though. Unemployment sucks for months on end, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's true.
But, yeah, if you want to get one, get your order in as soon as possible, because it's ending soon. In 9 days from the day we're recording this, so.
Well, the pre-sale or end soon.
Yes, I don't know if they'll have them available for sale post BlizzCon, though. Like,
right.
The fact that during a pre-sale definitely indicates to me that they may not have them available in, other than, like, whatever that got returned to them or whatever. yeah, like Francis says in the chat room, I think it's being printed on demand. Like, I think these are made for the quantity they need for people ordering online and for BlizzCon ticket holders.
Right.
If they have any to sell after, it'll probably just ones that got returned to them or that weren't picked up at BlizzCon. But that's just my guess, anyway.
I wonder how much shipping.
I'm going to say probably...
$1,000, obviously.
30 American. So, like... 900 Canadian?
No, I will verify. Why am I not logged in? This is bull. Oh, you know, when I wiped my computer a bunch of stuff, that's probably why.
I'm sure you did.
What do you mean, I'm sure you did? What's that supposed to mean?
Moving right along, let's talk a little bit about the latest affix for Mythics.
All right. So, as has been stated before, they're taking a look at some Mythic Plus affixes for 8.2 and adding a couple new ones. One of the new ones is called Beguiling, and it was on the PTR recently to be tested. So, Wowhead is an article about that and what it looks like. So, basically, in Beguiling, there are three different types of NPCs that get randomly scattered throughout the dungeon next to different trash mobs. There are three different names. There's the Enchanted Emissary, the Void Touch Emissary, and the Emissary of the Tides. And the location of each of those emissaries with the trash mobs get changed each week that this affix comes up, apparently. So each one does a different thing. The Enchanted Emissary grants nearby allies Queen's Decree blowback, which reflects 200% of damage dealt back at the target. And they have a passive that causes attacks to push back the emissary away, apparently. The next one is Void Touch Emissary, where it has Queen's Decree, Hide. The 8-second cast, it deals shadow damage equal to 50% of target's health to enemies in line of sight within 60 yards. And then the damage actually gets doubled with every cast of it. So that's annoying. And then the Emissary of Tides grants Queen's Decree Unstoppable, and it makes them immune to crowd control effects. They can be... Oh, sorry. The Emissary of Tides can be crowd controlled, but it makes their nearby allies unable to be crowd controlled.
So, a good thing nobody uses CC in most dungeons, right?
A Mythic Plus is once in a while. Not all the time, but it does help a Mythic Plus once in a while. So this has only been tested on PTR, and again, this is just PTR, so all of this can change before it actually comes out. So apparently, these emissaries don't actually die. At 1% health, they port back to Queen Ashura, wherever she may be at the time, so they aren't affected by on-death effects like Sanguine, for example. They seem interesting. We'll see. The Enchanted Emissary... Well, not just him. All of them have their pros and cons.
Yeah.
You know, the Enchanted Emissary seems to be fairly balanced. It's clear on how to handle them. It's engaging enough for the group to deal with. It's also not as overwhelming as some of the other ones. But it's also easy, since with that pushback and stuff, for him to actually pull other trash mobs, which is actually kind of scary. The Void Touch Emissaries, they don't happen as often throughout the dungeon. It's 2 to 4 times. And you can usually skip them, it sounds like. So you don't have to deal with them too often. But that's a good thing, because they sound like they're kind of basically a pain in the butt.
Yeah. 60-yard line of sight ability?
Yeah.
50% of your health doubled each time? Ugh, ugh.
So the currently in PTR, the Void Touch Emissary feels like it's undoable, basically, because they don't really move. They ramp up the damage very quickly, and they have a lot of health. So that's why it's being suggested right now to skip them as often as you can, because they are horrible. And the Emissary Tides, the pros are it adds some complexity. It does require that crowd control bit, at least for the Emissary, and interrupts and that kind of thing. It's not too hard to be dealt with, which is good, but it makes things in general just a little more difficult, which is the whole purpose of Mythic Pluses. However, if you leave the Emissary of Tides up too much, it becomes just such a pain. And that crowd control immunity does become an issue sometimes. So it could be interesting, but we'll kind of have to see how they change before they actually drop, because it sounds like the Void Touch Emissaries might be a little overpowered right now.
Yeah. Sounds like with Enchanted Emissary, I need to remember to lay off the AoE when we're dealing with that, because yeah. I like to spam AoE stuff.
Yeah.
Also,
having him crowd controlled help, that way you can, he doesn't have the chance to impact his buddies, so.
Yeah. I also just want to point out something real quick. I've never paid attention to the map of Motherlode, but I'm just noticing now on the map on the Wowhead article that there's an area called Crapopolis.
Yeah, Motherlode's pretty great. I like it a lot. It's definitely one of those that you have to take time to notice those little things, like
yeah.
Crapopolis, or like the conveyor belt that has Azurite rubber duckies. And those are things you don't notice if you just rush through it, so.
Unfortunately, the only time I've been through there is during a Mythic Plus, so like,
and you,
the nature of that is to rush
through. You rush through, yeah, exactly.
I would say, I thought the whole idea of Mythics was to rush through things.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So that's probably why I've never noticed it.
So, yeah, we'll see how these go when they actually come out. I mean, on one hand, it does help with Mythic Pluses, because adding more affixes into the rotation kind of helps keep things, fresh.
Yeah.
It doesn't get old, getting the same one too frequently, that kind of thing. We'll have to see how it turns out. Medris, I know you don't really like to do dungeons. Toasty, what do you think about this affix?
My immediate thought was, I can't do my usual opening, pop all cooldowns, and use Bladestorm.
Yeah, depending on the emissary. Yeah.
Yep. Using that with an enchanted emissary nearby sounds like a very quick way to kill the tank.
Yeah.
200% of the damage dealt back at the target. My god. That is awful.
Yeah, that one sounds like it's going to be painful for the healers, at least that particular emissary.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it'll be one of those things where you just got to get used to your way of approaching it, and I'm sure there'll be a few people screwing it up when they first encounter it, but it seems like it'll be okay. Void Touched Emissary sounds like I have to worry about breaking LOS a lot, which, it's something that we were used to having to do for a while. So, yeah. Again, not terrible. And I joked about the CC thing earlier, but at the same time, I'm not sure what the Emissary, the Emissary Tides is CC-able, so does it grant that when it's CC'd?
Well, when CC'd, it can't cast.
Right. I thought it was a passive that it gives out. Oh no. Okay. So you just gotta keep the CC up on it. And then take everything else out around it. Maybe. There's a couple ways you can approach that one, but
well, because it sounds like the cast for it is a pretty long one.
Let's see, that was
Emissary of Tides has a fairly long cast. Once they're brought to 1% health, they retain the CC immunity effects during the cast and keep the party in combat until the cast is finished. That's at the end of the fight, though.
Okay.
If this mob is stunned just before the cast begins, it immediately disappears. But again, wow, that's just in PTR, so that may not actually be a thing.
Yeah. I think the Emissary of Tides is the one I'm most worried about dealing with.
As a healer, I'm more worried about the Void Touch one.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that.
Yeah.
You can have idiots like me who just jump in Blade Storm.
Oh, yeah. There's always someone. Or you'll be telling them, okay, don't. Oh, no, I'm thinking Enchanted Emissary. They're reflecting 200 damage.
Oh, yeah.
200%
yeah.
damage. Like as
I knew which one you were talking about.
There's always going to be someone that you're like, okay, he's doing it now. Don't attack. There's always going to be someone that's like, starts attacking and gets wiped out. And yeah.
Yep. Well, they'll learn. They probably won't. But saying that they'll learn helps me deal with it.
There you go.
Whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes.
Ooh, some other new stuff coming up is some faction rewards.
Indeed. So, as we were previously informed, the factions for Nazjatar, the Alliance faction is Waveblade and Cohen, and the Horde faction is the Unshackled. There will be the typical rewards. There'll be a pet on each side. The Prismatic Softshell for the Alliance, and the Damp Light Slug for the Horde. There will be a variety of recipes on both sides, and it looks like mostly there's some epic potions, there's some epic alchemy stuff, and then some I can't tell what recipe. It looks like it's enchanting. Sorry, never mind. Yeah, there's three alchemy recipes, four enchanting recipes, and an inscription technique. At Exalted, of course, there's a mount. For the Ankoan, it is the Ankoan Wave Ray. And for the Unshackled, it's the Unshackled Wave Ray, which, of course, the Unshackled Wave Ray is red with some blue, oddly. And the Alliance one is blue with some gold, which is actually just perfect. I'm assuming these are swing mounts. I'm guessing.
I don't think so.
Well, they look like fishes.
Yeah, so do the Nether Rays.
Fair enough. I don't see anything on the hover over that makes it mentions whether it's flying or ground or not. So I guess we'll have to wait and see until somebody gets one in the PTR, I guess, or we see it live.
Might do both, because out in Antorus, there's those rays that are like actual flying mounts.
Yeah,
there might be something like that, but maybe it also has good swim speed.
That'd be good.
What, a multi-purpose mount?
Oh my god, never gonna happen. That never happened. I mean, they're taking away the only decent multi-purpose mount that we have, so.
Yeah, but they're giving it the ability to every other mount.
Great. I don't want every other mount. All right. Anyways, well, moving along.
We've had this argument.
Yes, we have had this argument once or twice before. Of course, you'll also get a tabard for each of them, and there will be, I'm sure, Paragon rewards for those as well. For Rust Bolt Resistance, which is cross-faction, I'm sure that everybody is so shocked that there's going to be engineering stuff here. There's going to be some pets and mounts, some quest stuff in the form of blueprints, and an inscription technique as well as two cooking techniques. The cooking recipe is the Famine Evaluator and Snack Table, which is of course Feast Table. That's what we're getting for reputation stuff in this coming patch. Have they released a date on this patch yet, or are we still just like waiting?
No, not yet. All right.
I want that rust bolt resistor.
Do you have 500,000 gold?
In other news, does anybody have 524,288 gold?
Yes, I do.
Does anybody have 524,288 gold and is willing to give it to me?
So, moving right along.
That's what I thought.
I do like that they're allowing you to purchase the contracts for increasing the reputation that you get, so you can actually focus on one of the reps in all the world quests you do. So you can make those as an inscriptionist, and for the Unkoan and for the Unshackled, there will be recipes you can buy to make those yourself at Revered. But you can also purchase at Friendly the actual contracts from the vendor. And it says here the price is 1 gold, 15 copper, or 15 silver. I'm not sure that's going to be the final price, but that's pretty cool. It's good that they're giving you the opportunity to purchase those and make use of those without having to build up the rep and get the recipe later on.
Yeah.
All right, Blizzard, let us know when the patch is coming now.
I'm guessing we'll hear about it next week.
You think?
Maybe. I'm not saying it's going to come out next week. I think that next week we'll hear about when the patch is coming out. Maybe.
Well, while we're waiting for that,
it's going to be time. So,
while we wait for that maybe to come to fruition, I'm going to talk about some of the new transmog stuff that we're going to find in 8.2.
Yes.
So, there's a couple of cool things about transmog coming out in 8.2. First of all, we got the heritage armor. Of course, we talked about that a couple times. We got both the Gnomish and the Tauren heritage armor, and seeing the Tauren heritage armor makes me miss the days where my warrior was a Tauren, because that looks badass. Taurens finally get that gigantic F-off totem on their back, and I love it. I want it in my life. Might have to make a Tauren warrior. And the Gnomish armor is like, yeah, what I expected. I love it. I want that too. We also got a bunch of the new gear that's coming in with the patch. So we've got the Benthic armor.
Yeah,
which looks really cool. I love it so much.
I'm so excited.
That sea themed armor with all the corals and barnacles all over it. Some of the weapons have barnacles all over it too.
It kind of solidifies the fact that my next alt I'm gonna level, like once I'm done Horde side or even in between, is gonna be my rogue. Just for the leather Benthic armor.
The leather looks really cool.
Yeah.
It's got starfish on it and everything, a little pirate hat.
Surprise, I like that.
Was made for you, Allie.
Right. I'm shocked. speaking of the Tauren's with the totems, I know a lot of people who rolled Tauren's when vanilla launched because they saw the Tauren wielding the totem in the trailer for the game, and then like rolled Alliance because they were just so frustrated because they didn't get it.
Want to hear a funny story?
What's that?
Like, that was me. I rolled my first tune was a Tauren druid. Like, I can't wait. Like, I want that big totem weapon thing. And then I found out I couldn't get it. And then also, I broke up with my girlfriend at the time. And we were playing together. So, like, I'm going to start somewhere new. That's when I made my Night Elf warrior named Baloran. Spoiler, I haven't looked back. No. No. I pretty much instantly decided to go Fury because I was reading the book that came with my battle chest. They came with a book, and I was like, But two-handed weapons for a Fury Warrior? Yes, please. So that's what I did. Haven't looked back since.
Yeah, I still say that's very, very misleading advertising to have a weapon that they never were going to let you use in the trailer.
Well, all it took was 15 years.
But can you use that totem? Like, are you actually able to use it as a weapon?
In my head, yes.
So your headcanon says yes.
Yep.
Alrighty then. Well, here's your headcanon be true.
That's making me wonder where the weapons are going to be stored for Fury Warriors. Are they all going to be hip weapons?
I don't know.
I guess we'll have to see.
Maybe the totem's a storage container for your weapon.
Maybe. Oh, wait. You can just go to the dressing room and find out. Yeah, I'll do that later.
All right, you do that.
In the meantime, words hard. All right. So that's some of the new stuff that's coming in A2, and as has been talked about many times before this, with A2, we do get some changes to transmogs in that we're able to hide all the slots except for Pan, because you got to wear Pan. Apparently. Now, what some people didn't realize, and what I definitely didn't remember, was that meant you could show off all those tattoos that you have on all your characters, because there are 5 different races that have tattoo options, which just made me think of, like, I want tattoo options for so many more races, because right now,
yeah, me too.
You got High Mountain Tauren, Magcar Orcs, Nightborn Elves, and Zandalari Trolls for the Horde, and then you have Lightforged Draenei for the Alliance.
So
give me more tattoo options, Blizzard.
So I have a weird thing about this. So for 15 years, people have been mocking Blizzard and many other game makers, to be honest, for the fact that one gender in their game has armor options that are entirely unrealistic. And Blizzard's answer to that was to allow everybody to look like they're wearing unrealistic armor options.
Yep. Equal opportunity, unrealistic armor. Armor standards.
All right. That's one way to go. Blizzard, that's one way to go.
But seriously, Blizzard, give me more tattoo options. Let me have wild hammer tattoos on my dwarves.
That'd be awesome.
Like, you've opened up with this change in transmog rules, you've given us so many more options for stuff like this, and yet there are only 5 that currently exist in game, and only one of them is with the Alliance. Give me more tattoo options.
And unfortunately, now Frasley has left, so he still does not know what the tattoo thinks about.
Listen.
The Nightborn tattoos alone make me want to roll a Nightborn.
I know, right? Those
look so cool. So cool. Wow.
The Zandalari tattoos are really nice, too, with the gold.
Yeah.
The Magcar tattoos, I mean, you got all the different orc clans represented there. The Lightforged, I mean, yeah, we were very much aware of those, and we got more of the gold tattooing going on. Got full back pieces for some of them. I want it all. Blizzard, give me tattoo options for other races.
I like that the High Mountain Tauren ones have different colors.
Yeah, that's really cool too.
I'll be honest, the only time I've noticed tattoos on my characters was my Demon Hunters.
Because they have the armor that shows it.
Yeah.
Well, and so far we just have the Thune Hunters and Lifeforge Draenei. So
yeah.
Well, and now we have, you know, these other ones coming in, but.
I mean, the Night Elves, I think only the Night Elf females have tattoos on their face.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. Good point.
But even then, that's two.
Right.
Compared to the four that the Horde have. I don't know. I think that's something they need to consider for maybe not this expansion, but like next expansion, now that they've relaxed the transmog rules even more. Like, give us tattoo options. Why not?
Yes, why not?
As a very tattooed person, I would appreciate tattoo options, please.
Yeah, Blizzard, I mean, you've already given Allie everything she wanted when it comes to pirate hats. You should give Toasty what he wants with tattoos. Come on.
My hat makes me so happy. Except right now I don't get to see it too often because of the gift from the old gods.
But that gift is also making you happy.
That's true, because I like old god stuff.
It's a trade-off. It's worth it.
I just like things, you know? That's just yeah. Who I am.
I like things too. Like tattoos, give them to me, Blizzard. Just give them to me.
Well, I think Allie started asking about a year ago for her pirate hat, and now she has one, so it'll be a few months before you get one. It'll be fine.
A year?
I've been wanting a pirate hat for a long time, to be honest.
A year might line up with whenever the next expansion launches.
Maybe. I think that's a touch too early, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, a little more than a year. Anyway, tattoos, give them to me.
We don't even have an announcement of a name, an idea, nothing about the next expansion.
That's fine.
So unless they're basically announcing at BlizzCon and the release date is like 3 months later, I don't see it a year out, but okay.
Wait, if they announce at BlizzCon and announce it 3 months later is not a year out. That's like...
No, but I'm saying announce it that it'll be out in 3 months, and then it'll actually be out 6 months later, which will be about a year now, from
now. Okay.
Sorry, I was expecting I was including Blizzard timeline shifting in there. Sorry.
Timey wimey stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, enough about tattoos.
For now.
Talk about. Yeah, for now. I'm sure I'll bring it up again eventually.
Of course.
Let's talk about the WoW Classic beta. Not much more has developed there, except for they've increased the level cap in the beta to level 40. So anybody who's in there right now, you know, continue to grind out. And they've also opened Arathi Basin for testing. So go ahead and give that a shot. Just a heads up on that, it's very limited testing. There's not going to be any character templates, so you have to go in with a created character. So you'll have to be out level 20 or higher to participate. And it looks like one of the sessions for testing has already happened, and that was on June 6th. Keep an eye out for any other tests of Arathi Basin in the future. And as usual, to keep an eye on the known issues thread as well as the ever-growing list of confirmed not bugs. They're still updating that. And yeah, happy testing. And Blizzard also reminds you to not forget to guard the farm. A lot of you will forget to guard the farm. So many people.
I will not forget to guard the farm. Because I'll never be there.
Yeah, but by not being there, you forgot to do it because it's not on your mind.
No, I did not forget to do it. I was not given an opportunity to do it. Forgetting requires that I actually be there to have the opportunity to do it and then forget to do it.
Forgetting about its existence can also be forgetting about it. And then it can argue that you forgot it existed because you haven't been doing it. You don't care.
All right.
It's a bit of a stretch. I'm aware of this.
Glad we can agree on something at least.
Yeah, anyway. Classic beta is still happening, so if you're there, enjoy. And if you're not, make sure you're opted in. I've definitely encountered at least one person who's like, I can't wait, I hope that I get in. And then he went to check his account, like, oh, I should opt in.
That he definitely helps.
Was not opted in.
It definitely helps to opt in to those beta things.
Yep. Anyway, that's it for that. Let's talk about our second sponsor of the show.
All right.
So our second sponsor, as usual, are the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today we're going to take a look at the Arcane Ascension series with Sufficiently Advanced Magic. Let's have a listen.
The door vanished behind me, of course. I pondered the significance of the door's color for a moment. Was the golden gem just representing a more challenging version of the same style of room? Or maybe these colors had some sort of cultural significance? The room could represent the tyrant in gold, for example. If it did, I was probably in a great deal of trouble. I carefully inspected the floor before I made my way forward. The square-shaped grid wasn't present here, and I didn't see any runes or indentations. There were, however, four small grates in the corners of the room. They looked inert for now, but I didn't like the look of them. The Valor board was the most obvious set piece for a puzzle. I ignored it and headed straight toward the three doors in the back of the room, green, gold, and orange, just like the last room. I didn't know how many rooms I'd have to complete in total, but I did plan to stick with gold unless I saw a good reason to switch, especially if I could skip the puzzle entirely. I moved my hand toward the golden gem, but pulled it back at the last second. There was a keyhole above the gem. I frowned and checked the other doors. They were all set up in the same way. Okay, I could deal with that. Maybe. I had a key, but I didn't know if it would fit.
So once again, that was Sufficiently Advanced Magic, the first book in the Arcane Ascension series written by Andrew Rowe and narrated by Nick Podell. You can find that and over 200,000 titles over at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show.
Indeed.
So our question of the week for last week was, what new Blizzard gear would you like to see in the store? I'm going to echo what some people have said, and I want new PJs in there. I want Blizzard themed PJs. I like my pajama pants.
Yes, totally.
So give me more of those. Franzley says, would love to see more gear that includes in-game things like stitches for heroes and the Wyvern and Griffin. Yeah, that's something that would be cool to see them explore again.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that they stopped doing the pets with the plushies than they were doing early on.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. Zeph says, a Griffin t-shirt would be cool, maybe a plushie.
Ooh.
And Capo says, a Hogger or Murloc mask that mimics their grunts when you open your mouth, a la the Chewbacca mask that got famous a few years back. Yes, I didn't know I wanted that, and now I want it. Give it to that me, Blizzard.
Cool. Oh my gosh, the Murloc one?
Yeah.
Oh.
So give me tattoos for more Alliance races and this mask thing. Give it to me.
Rosenstern says, I want more fitted hats. I hate the snapbacks. I've been looking for a sweet fitted Horde hat for a while now with no luck. Leo Wild said, something Volpera related. I want to represent the at Volpera caravan. Hashtag battle for Volpera. He really wants a Volpera allied race. And then I added that I realized after the show that I wish I had also said a plushy pirate murky, because that was something actually a few weeks ago I was thinking about when I was talking to my husband and how much I really want that. So I would like them to put that in the store, please. Okay, thanks.
Do you have the pirate Pepe plush?
No, I don't.
All right.
Maybe eventually.
Volpera Caravan, something Volpera related, as said by Leo Wild. Cyrub's KOC says a wide array of funny Blizzard themed shirts would be cool.
Yeah.
Next question is, what kind of tattoo options would you like to see for the other races?
Wild Hammer Dwarf. Also, I want the Kul'tirans to have tattoos because they're sailors. That just goes.
Ooh,
like, I understand not.
That's a very natural thing. Yeah.
Like, I understand not wanting to just give everybody tattoos, but I feel like dwarves make sense, especially considering the Wildhammers and the freaking sailor allied race.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that because my rogue would have tattoos, and then my Ali Morgan would. Oh, yes. Yeah, the Kul'tiran need tattoos. That's a thing.
I would agree with that.
What about humans? Do you think your human paladin needs tattoos, Medros?
He's not really much of a bad boy. He doesn't really need tattoos. If he was going to get anything tattoo related, it would be
a bad boy.
Yeah, it would likely be something similar to like the Lightforged Draenei kind of thing, like a next level paladin kind of thing.
Depends. When I thought of paladin, I just thought of whatever the equivalent to a cross tattoo would be.
Yes, it's bad.
But it also tracks. I'm just saying.
Except that not all of the symbolism of paladin-esque and light is religious cross related.
I said whatever the equivalent to the cross symbolism would be. I'm not saying a cross. See, whatever the equivalent is.
I understand. All right. I think that's about it. Anybody else have anything?
So how long was the show last week?
An hour.
Because I remember some people throwing blame at me for the shows going as long as they do sometimes last week.
You weren't there last week, and it was a little shorter.
I think it was Erlina who said who knew who to blame for the show going off the rails.
I think so.
That may have been an Erlina, yes.
I mean, she's not wrong.
All right.
But you were missed, Toasty.
Absolutely. All right, shout out time. Toasty, how about you?
Too sad for shout-outs. Shout out to you guys for covering my butt when I was very suddenly sick. That was not a fun couple of days. I did not enjoy that.
So I must say, Ellie, are you sad that I didn't get a Nick in as a filler for Toasty last week?
A little bit, because I like Nick, but I think we did fine.
All right.
Maybe when he goes to London, we can. Or this, this England trip.
I was just gonna say I can have Nick come in when Toasty goes to BlizzCon, but then I remembered that. Yeah. Anyways.
The week after.
Yeah, I will be here the week after.
All right then, we'll consider that.
Also, you could just have arranged that for like, if I actually end up going to London.
Let us know what you find out.
I'll find out by July. Oh, that's right, like then. A month away. Oh, no.
Yes, it is.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Hey, breathe. It's okay. It's gotta be okay.
You'll make it, man. You can do it. All right. Allie, what's your shout out?
So, I want to give a shout out to anyone who has ever listened to or told people about my show, because it's the 1 year anniversary of my show and of me officially podcasting. So just shout out to anyone who's ever listened to it. It makes me happy.
All right. And my shout out is to this host of this really great podcast that just hit 1 year mark, named Dungeon Fables. And you laugh because you think I'm just saying this was actually my plan. I do have a second shout out as well. But I remember when ATA hit the 1 year mark, I was blown away that I'd made it a year. So I know where you're feeling, where your heart is right now and how you're feeling having hit your 1 year mark. You have done an incredible job. You've done what honestly few people are able to do. When I started, the community was really, really small. In the overall podcasting was really small. And as things grew on and people got more experienced, there was a recommendation veteran podcasters would give, and that is do your first 10 episodes, but never release a single, never release any of it, because that will tell you whether you're able to stick it through. And you made it 50 episodes, so congratulations to you, Allie.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't doubt that I would make it to a year and to 50 episodes. I just doubted the number of people that would be listening. So.
Well, I think a lot of people are listening. So, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And my second shout out goes out to the Boston Bruins. Good luck on Wednesday. Wish you the best. That's what I was supposed to say, right, Toasty?
Yep.
You okay there, buddy?
All right, well, let's do our outro, because before Toasty dies and stuff.
If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, call 1-785-ATA-WOW-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. If you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. Join our Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata and our Discord at bit.ly/ata discord, which is where we record every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central. You can find us on Twitter at allthingsaz, at Medros, at Fandeth, at Toasty Posty Can, at Aliandres K, and at Dawnforge. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Bye.
Oh god, it's almost over.
Let the countdown begin for next season.
This podcast brought to you by Dawnforge Productions, copyright 2019. Get more at thedawnforge.com.